In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expire, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world. world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Our Lady, Queen of Peace,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
I do think it's time to start mandating vaccines. And I think that private industry and private organizations will do that. You know, at GW University, where I work, starting this fall, you can't be on campus unless you're fully vaccinated. Look, I think that we're in the part of the pandemic now where the problem in this country is that 150 million Americans are not vaccinated. Now, half of that number is less than 18 years of age. But let's look at the adults. 75 million adults have chosen not to get vaccinated. And that choice has consequences.
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to the Drew Mariani Show. I'm Sheila Logvinas in for Drew today. You're hearing a lot today and seeing a lot in the headlines. I am. They're blowing up all over the online news sources that I've been covering. I do daily news sweeps online every day about what the top headlines are of the moment on any issue at hand that's most urgent right now, and whether it's in politics, in culture, in medicine, and that's global and certainly national first, but then global. There's a lot going on. Today, a lot of those headlines, so I have different boxes I've arranged, you know, the top news stories of the moment, second boxes, you know, that goes on down from there, but the next top, and they can be national, they can be global. Well, today I find all of these things like pretty much of a piece. They're all just coming in about COVID. Why? Because there's so much that's gone on, and you may have heard about the showdown, if you will, in the Senate today with Senator Rand Paul and Dr. Anthony Fauci. The U.S. government today, they're part of this, warned American citizens against traveling to the UK. Do you know that if you have plans to travel there this summer? That comes a day after Britain lifted its COVID-19 restrictions and is allowing citizens to gather once again without masks in bars, restaurants, and nightclubs. But the U.S. is warning against traveling there as long as the Delta variant is going through populations in such large numbers. We're going to talk about that. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, is now saying that the Delta variant makes up 83% of new cases, and they are primarily people who have not been vaccinated, though not all. I mean, some people who have been vaccinated get a milder form of it, and a doctor coming up soon will tell you about that. But that percentage, 83% of new cases, That's up from 50% of new cases at the beginning of the month. Not long ago, right? A couple, few weeks. That increase is leading a number of counties in California to reimpose mask recommendations. According to the Los Angeles Times, Santa Barbara, Monterey, Napa, San Benito, Santa Cruz, and Ventura counties have now been added to 11 other counties, now asking even fully vaccinated individuals to wear face coverings as a precaution while inside public spaces. LA County has made it a requirement. That makes for more than half the population of the state. That raises the question of whether or not masking should be reimposed across the country. I know you're cringing right now. You have the chance for phone calls here, and you're going to want to do that. So what about reimposing a masking mandate across the country? That was a suggestion made by Surgeon General Jerome Adams. But a number of governors, even Democrat Governor Jay Inslee of Washington, are resisting that suggestion. Here's a quote from him. "We don't want to be wearing masks for the next 32 years, Governor Inslee told a news outlet in the Northwest. He said, quote, "Vaccines stop this thing dead." Well, let's see what my guest says about that. And also, the American Academy of Pediatrics is recommending that when kids return to school in the fall, everyone, including the children, should be masked at schools. But that's a suggestion that CDC Director Rochelle Walensky told a Senate hearing today is premature. See how fast this thing is changing, morphing? I think I heard Dr. Anthony Fauci say today, or maybe in a news clip not that long ago, and then former Surgeon General, I heard him today say, there is so much, he said, we don't know what we don't know about this still. And that's, you know, this far into it. So Dr. Robert Tobolli is here to talk about that. He practices in adult and pediatric infectious disease in the northwest suburbs of Chicago. You know him well from Drew's show. He's also a clinical assistant professor of medicine at the University of Illinois. Dr. Tobolli, I'm so glad you're here, especially on such a day as this.
Great to be with you. I guess I missed the shouting match in Congress today.
Oh, well, you'll pick it up on the evening news. It's being replayed on all the networks. It was a shouting match between Senator Rand Paul and Dr. Anthony Fauci. And it really was. It did come to a lot of voice raising and a lot of cutting in on each other and accusations about who knew what and when and who's telling the truth and who's not. And, oh my gosh, it was rather the decorum was gone. And indecorous, if you will. But it was it edifying? I mean, we want information, Dr. Tobolli. So a couple things. What about that, that in the setup, CDC is now saying that the Delta variant makes up 83% of new cases and that they're primarily people who have not been vaccinated. So are we at a plateau right now of people getting the vaccine and not people, some who've already been vaccinated and the other holdouts are still holding out?
Yeah, I think we're kind of vaccine saturated. One thing I want to point out about Rand Paul is he is a doctor. He's a surgical eye doctor, an ophthalmologist, so he's not uneducated on these matters. I think we've reached near our saturation of vaccination because, you know, the farther we go with the messenger RNA vaccines, and I say this all the time. I said, you know, they're basically miraculous, you know, near miraculous. Events in our life that enabled us to actually in many ways reopen our society. You know, they're highly protective and they seem to provide protection across all the variants because what they do is they create antibodies to the part of the virus that attaches to the human cell. And the virus doesn't attach any other way. It only attaches through this one receptor. And that's what the vaccines block. They block that part of the virus. So as long as someone's antibody response that's induced by the vaccine is effective, and there's new literature, a paper that was just published yesterday from Europe that is showing that antibodies remain measurable after 9 months after vaccination, as long as people continue to have these type of antibody responses, we would expect that their protection, not 100% against getting infection, but when they do get infection, the overwhelming majority of people that have been vaccinated will have either an asymptomatic infection or a very extremely mild case, not arising to something to be hospitalized. People that are going to be hospitalized getting infection after vaccination are going to be in very low numbers, 3% or less. So, you know, we understand the vaccines to be well over 90% protective against serious illness. Now, one vaccine that I've been touting that anybody who's been listening to Drew and I've been on, I've been talking about a vaccine called the Novavax.
And that's
a different type of vaccine. It's a kind of an old-type technology, older type, combined with something called an adjuvant or an immune intensifier that provokes a very strong immunological response, but a very mild side effects. And so the side effects that we're seeing with the messenger RNA vaccines are not really seen with the Novavax. Now, that might change if, you know, hundreds of millions of people were vaccinated, we would see some. But these stories that we hear about significant issues with the messenger RNA vaccines, although they're large numbers in aggregate, if you look at it, they're a large number, but when you compare them to the number of people that were vaccinated, they come out to be, you know, a few digits of 10,000ths of 1% of the people that were vaccinated.
Uh-huh.
Now, anybody that gets a anyone that gets a vaccine is going to have, you know, low-grade fevers, headaches, muscle aches, some chills and things. That's because the immune system is being triggered, and that's what the immune system causes you to have those symptoms. But myocarditis and inflammation of the heart muscle, blood clotting disorders, strokes, things like that that have been associated with the mRNA vaccines and the AstraZeneca viral vector vaccines, not really seen with the Novavax. And I every day I search the headlines to see if Novavax is dropping off their information at the FDA, because I really do hope that they get this emergency use authorization, because if Pfizer or Moderna gets a full authorization, then automatically the bar goes up for any other, if I can call them Me Too vaccines, to be approved in a similar fashion. It will take years for the Novavax to get approved. One of the other vaccines had full approval. So it changes the playing field. And many people like myself believe that the Novavax, because of the low side effect profile and the older technology, will be embraced by a lot of the people that are vaccine hesitant right now. It probably, over the long term, would become the dominant player in this market, you know, for coronavirus vaccinations.
So people listening right now, we're about up against a break, but when people listening to you right now, Dr. Tabali, hear this, who have been vaccinated with either Pfizer or Moderna, received that, and they hear you, of course, touting Novavax, are all three mRNAs?
No. The Novavax is a what they call a protein vaccine. If it's like particles, like I call them tennis balls, a core particle with spikes sticking out of it, which are the receptor protein, and it induces an antibody response to it. Now, the messenger RNA vaccine, it causes your body's cellular machinery to make the spike protein and present it to the immune system. With the Novavax, that doesn't happen. You just get injected with the certain amount of the spike protein arranged in this particulate matter, and so it's a reproducible amount of material that each human body makes. Or each human body's immune system is exposed to. The messenger RNA vaccines, there's a little bit of variability in the total amount of protein that the ACE receptor protein that the immune system sees, and so people can have varying responses to the vaccine. Some can overproduce, some can underproduce.
Yeah, well, you know what, doctor? A lot of people have a lot of questions about this. 888-914-9149. Dr. Robert Tabali is here to answer mine and yours.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
This is an all-hands-on-deck moment. We have substantial level of community transmission. We're only one level below a high level of community transmission, and we all need to do our part.
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Sheila Logminas. This is the Drew Mariani Show. I'm in for Drew today. So happy to be here. I'm talking with Dr. Robert Tabali about the coronavirus, COVID, and the vaccines, and whether they've plateaued, which he said they have. And I have a lot of questions for him because this is all over the news today, especially. I mean, it doesn't go away from the news, but it's blown up on the news today. It's all over for different reasons. There's a White House official and Speaker Pelosi staff member who've tested positive for COVID, and they have been vaccinated. So there's that, and that's got a lot of headlines here. And what happens when someone who's vaccinated gets the coronavirus, if they can transmit it, if they're, you know, what the suffering is for them, if they have any symptoms, what those are like, that's in the news, how transmissible it is through them to others. And therefore, Speaker Pelosi was tested, but she's separating herself from this staffer and so on. And, so COVID-19 cases spiked nationwide, reports the U.S., New York Post, I should say. Cases spike nationwide as vaccinations slow and the Delta variant spreads. Dr. Tabali is here to answer my questions and yours. 888-914-9149. He practices adult and pediatric infectious disease specialty in the Northwest suburbs in Chicago, and he's also a clinical assistant professor of medicine at the University of Illinois. Dr. Tabali, before we get back to my questions, we were talking about the vaccinations plateauing, but then this is all over the news right now. We have a call from Robert in Austin. Robert, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, Sheila, it is so good to hear your voice again. Doctor, thank you for this, because without Relevant Radio, I just didn't know where I would get access to this. I am not a doctor, and I very much don't understand these things. My question was, once you get the vaccine, I understand that you're protected and you're way less likely to have symptoms and be sick if you get it. But are you able to take the virus without having any symptoms and still spread it to the bigger community? And if so, is the virus giving us a false sense of confidence about being in close contact and social distancing and all those precautions we've gotten accustomed to? Thank you.
Those are good questions.
Well, you know, if you get all vaccines are not equal. Let me preface it with that. So when you read about a story in Indonesia where the doctors are getting sick and being hospitalized and they've all been vaccinated, that's a different vaccine. That's the Chinese Sinovac vaccine that they were using, very poorly protective, almost like giving salt water. But the vaccines that have been available here in the United States are, you know, the top of the class. They're, you know, just as luck would have it, they are, without question, the best and most efficacious vaccines. The Johnson & Johnson, which I don't recommend to anyone because of the association where it's actually made in a broth of fetal cells. But the messenger RNA vaccines are neither designed nor manufactured in such a manner. They don't have any contact. There was some testing done on them after they were completed to see if there was any genetic, change in the genetic character. But that's the method they used. I wish they didn't do it, but they did it. And so therefore, a lot of people don't want those vaccines because of that. But they're very, very protective. You get the vaccine, the two shots, 14 days after your second shot. It's unlikely that if you were exposed to a variant, Delta variant or the Lambda variant that is going on in South America right now, that you would become symptomatically ill. If you got symptoms, they might be a cold. Now, what you're not hearing about is these vaccine, quote, breakthroughs where people are getting infected. The vaccine doesn't put you in a sphere. It doesn't prevent you from ever getting infected. But as I say, you could have asymptomatic, low viral carriage. There's been studies that have looked at people that have gotten infected after vaccination, checking to see how much virus do they have in their nasal passages and in their upper airways to see how infectious they would be to other people. And for the most part, the viral load there is extremely low. Now, if you got vaccinated with both vaccines, it's unlikely that you're going to pass it on to other people, but it can happen. Some people get vaccinated and they don't respond to the vaccine, and these are people on potent immunosuppressive agents that they might be taking for rheumatoid arthritis or psoriatic arthritis or eczema or other conditions like that, or they may have had a history of leukemia or lymphoma where their immune system, although they're doing fine and relatively, you know, understood to be cancer-free at this point, their immune system doesn't work the way it did before they got the lymphoma or leukemia. And so they have qualitative immune defects, and they may not respond to vaccines like people that have not had those conditions before. And then patients that have had solid organ transplants, they didn't respond very well to the vaccine. So there was actually a study where they were given three vaccines, and at 30 days after the third vaccine, 70% of the people that had solid organ transplants had measurable amounts of immunity based on the antibodies. Now, the antibodies don't necessarily sterilize a virus if you get exposed to it. You can still get infected, but the antibody response, your immune system will shut it down very rapidly and keep you from getting very sick if you've had a beneficial response to the vaccine. So it's very hard. You can't ever predict who's going to do how with what they're exposed to. But, you know, one thing we do, you know, because people talk about, I've been vaccinated, but they may, you know, some people say they've been vaccinated, they may have only had one vaccine. There was a potential for the vaccine to be mishandled. There were a number of people that got injected with salt water by mistake instead of vaccine at a couple of large distribution centers. So there's always, whenever you have humans in the chain, the supply chain of doing something, there's always the potential for an error. And as fast and as hard as everybody's been working on this stuff, those type of things can happen. But those are small events. You know, they're not a common occurrence in the delivery of the healthcare here in the United States. So the vaccines are highly protective, and they're protective against death. They're protective against hospitalization. And the very significant majority of people that are being admitted to hospitals now are people that have been unvaccinated, completely unvaccinated.
I want to follow up on that and what people's reluctance is to stay unvaccinated, what their fears are. But before, again, I get back to my questions, because Dr. Tabali has so much information for all of us, and many of us have specific questions, and you do out there, and I have my own from research and seeing the news headlines today. There's a lot going on, but Dr. Tabali stays on top of it even more so, and also talking about vaccines you might not have even heard of. So he's got the lowdown on that. So, Doctor, we have a call from Manuel in Greenville, California. Okay, so Doctor, we have my question is, what about that? So I've been reading how in some states with a higher vaccination level for the population, they're doing much better. Of course, that kind of goes without saying. I was reading a New York Times article a few weeks ago. The article reports it seemed plausible that COVID-19 might be in permanent retreat. It kind of seems like a stretch, but it says the New York Times, at least in communities with high vaccination rates. But the Delta variant has changed the situation. And then it said the number of cases is rising in all 50 states. So that would include the states that has a higher population of vaccinated people, as well as that, those who didn't. As well as that, Dr. Tabali, that New York Times article said many vaccine skeptics who didn't get it have since changed their minds and gotten shots. Here's why. And then the article goes on to talk about how to persuade people. I'll let you get to that, but in a moment. So that keep that in mind. We have a call from Claudia in Glendora, California, and I want to grab that while we have her. Go ahead, Claudia. Thank you for calling.
Hello, this is Claudia. Let me put you in December of 2020. And I'm actually a nurse, and so I have not been vaccinated. And I really don't plan to, but so my question is, you know, would it be a good idea to get vaccinated? I just would like to, you know if, because we're not hearing anything about people who already have cell immunity.
Now, what about that, Dr. Tabali? People like Claudia who have had it, and now, I mean, what kind of immunity that afforded them or not? And Claudia is now wondering, should she get the vaccine?
Well, there's a lot of information that's come out that the immunity that people have from getting a natural infection is very substantial, and it's very durable, meaning it's strong and it lasts a long time. And so, but in public health situations, and if you're an employer and you're facing potential liability issues, people make decisions based on the lowest risk scenario. So, I don't know if Claudia works in a hospital or if she works in an outpatient clinic or she's a home health nurse or what, but almost all employers in the medical field are going to be requiring vaccination. Even before the vaccine gets full approval, even while they're emergency use approval situation. And in Houston, there's been a lot of people that have lost their jobs already because they haven't been vaccinated. Same thing, I believe, St. Jude, a hospital in Memphis for sick children. Having the same hard line. There is data that shows that if you've had natural infection, one dose of the messenger RNA vaccine will elevate your antibody or secretory immunity 140 times. That's 140 times where it was before, and it elevates your cellular immunity or what's called the T cell immunity. By more than five times. Public health has not embraced this yet. There is no provision for people to only get one messenger RNA vaccine after having knowingly had COVID. And so right now, even if you knowingly had COVID, your employer would require you to have the full two doses unless you had a serious reaction to the first vaccine. One of my friends is plastic surgeon, ear, nose, and throat plastic surgeon out there in California, and he believed he had COVID. He got messenger RNA vaccine, and he got a very significant neuropathy in his hands, numbness and so on. Mm. If you're a surgeon, you can imagine that's not a good thing. So he didn't get the second vaccine, and he got a medical waiver to avoid the second vaccine. But a lot of employers are going to be making these decisions without a lot of a depth of knowledge on the subject. And I know the hospital, one of the hospitals where I was working recently, they're requiring all the personnel to be vaccinated by the fall or they will lose their jobs.
Well, so, so Claudia, the nurse who had COVID in December 2020, and hadn't yet been vaccinated, wondering if that built up enough antibodies that she didn't need the vaccine, or now should she get vaccinated? And you've given very good examples of different people in different scenarios in some medical health centers either now requiring it of all employees or they'll lose their job or thinking about requiring it. Would leave Claudia where? I mean, not sure where she works in Glendora, California. However, the question for all healthcare listeners across the country right now, coast to coast, is probably the same. I'm a healthcare worker in a health facility. I did get COVID back whenever. But I didn't get a vaccine. Now I'm wondering, maybe not even for purposes of their employer, but just should, since they aren't sure now, they developed enough antibodies to not get it again, they're wondering if they should.
Well, this is one of the reasons why I'm banging the drum on Novavax so significantly, because I believe that this is a vaccine that people who have had COVID could actually take and not be concerned about having significant side effects like we're seeing with the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccination in patients who've already had COVID. I myself had serious COVID March of 2020. I thought I was going to die, to be quite honest.
Oh, wow.
But I didn't. I personally have not been yet vaccinated, but I'm waiting for the Novavax. I believe I got COVID again, but it was not severe at all. It was like I was like just incredibly tired for a day with fevers and chills, and then it was resolved. But I think that my I was antibody positive after I have it. I didn't get a test because I wasn't admitted to the hospital. When I became sick in Illinois back in March of 2020, you had to be admitted to a hospital to get a test for COVID. So I understand where Claudia is coming from, and all the other healthcare workers, and I'm in the same position, which is why, you know, I wrote a candidate op-ed to the Wall Street Journal that I submitted last week and haven't heard, but it was about this dilemma, the binary situation where society is running. It doesn't matter whether you had COVID or not. It's only the binary issue is vaccinated or unvaccinated, not immune or non-immune. And
right. So, I mean, good point.
Yeah, and a lot of the people that don't want to get vaccinated believe they had COVID. And some of the side effects of the vaccine, you know, could be more severe in people who've had COVID. So that's one of the reasons why I've been recommending my patients to wait at least 3 months before after they've recovered from COVID before they would even consider being vaccinated.
Well, so many questions, and Dr. Robert Tabali is here to answer you. Kayla is on deck for the next call I'm going to take, but that'll be coming up shortly. The phone number is 888-914-9149. We're talking COVID, which is all over the news today. In fact, especially with a White House official and a Speaker Pelosi staff member testing positive, both of whom were vaccinated and now testing positive for COVID, probably the Delta variant. Dr. Tabali has answers to different kinds of questions of different sorts about having been vaccinated, not yet having been vaccinated, COVID surging again, what might be in store, what about masking indoors or out, what are your questions? 888-914-9149. Kayla, you're on deck next.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to the Drew Mariani Show. I'm Sheila Lagminas in for Drew today, having a compelling conversation with Dr. Robert Tabali, who practices in adult and pediatric infectious disease specialty in the northwest suburbs of Chicago. He's also a clinical assistant professor of medicine at the University of Illinois and a specialist in answering your questions and mine about COVID-19 and all of the ongoing permutations and storylines changing. And what today I heard the former Surgeon General say in an interview on television, we don't know what we don't know. So he said this thing is changing all the time. We're learning things all the time. Of course, we learn from experience. People in those specialties are learning all the time from now newly developed research and results of research and patient studies and so forth. And that's why we need updates. Those of you who have been vaccinated and those of you who are yet not vaccinated but have questions or fears about it, the lines are open for you. This is the time to ask your questions. Dr. Robert Tabali, 888-914-9149. What your fears are about the vaccine. If you've been vaccinated, what about what you're hearing? People who have been vaccinated can still get, especially the new Delta variant, which is causing surges all over the country and in other parts of the world. So all of this is of a piece. It's COVID-19. It's going to be with us for a very long time. And as I said, Dr. Tabali can answer your questions. So I said we were going to go Kayla. Kayla in Wisconsin. Kayla, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Thank you so much for taking my call. We've been hearing so much about these COVID breakthrough cases. It's the latest hype with the media. And I just feel like we don't really hear if these were individuals who had symptoms and got tested, or perhaps in the cases of the aide of Nancy Pelosi, maybe they're in positions where they need to get regular testing. They didn't have symptoms, but they were positive. I think that's really important to know, and I feel like we're not hearing that part about the breakthrough cases. And I just wanted to know your thoughts, Dr. Tabali, on that.
Well, I agree with you. You may remember months ago, 3 Yankees were tested positive for COVID, and they were like, really? They had no symptoms. They had been vaccinated, but they tested positive, but they had absolutely no symptoms. Similarly, many, many people get tested positive either because they were in contact with someone else who tested positive and was symptomatic. They came to attention because they were symptomatic, they got tested. Or people who are having regular tests, as you say, because they're walking the halls of the White House and they have to be tested every day or a couple of times a day and they might turn positive. But most of the people that are vaccinated don't have symptoms, most of them. or they've got very, very, very mild symptoms. But you don't hear about that in the newspapers. But I can tell you this, most all the people, it's like over 90% of the people that are being admitted to the hospital with hospital-level symptoms, shortness of breath, other organ disruptions, kidney failure, liver involvement, inflammatory heart disease, because of the coronavirus, over 90% of those people are unvaccinated. So, an infection is not the same as an infection. A vaccine is not the same as a vaccine. The vaccines we have here in the United States are outstanding performers, fantastic performers. The vaccines they have in other areas of the world, like the ones in Indonesia, Malaysia, not very good at all. And when people have infections, an infection doesn't mean that they're seriously ill. But an infection can be anywhere from the range of completely asymptomatic, with no fevers, no chills, no knowledge, no runny nose or anything, to being very symptomatic and needing to be in a hospital intensive care unit. But the people that get on the far end that are sick and hospitalized, right now, virtually all of those people, I'm sure there's one or two that aren't, but virtually all those people are unvaccinated. So, the public health story wants to continue to motivate people to get vaccinated. Mm-hmm. So they tend to, if I can say, bias the release of information to most efficiently motivate people to get vaccinated. Right now it's like a balancing situation between people's uncertainty of the vaccines that are still available versus their fear of getting infected. And a lot of people don't fear the infection at all. I mean, I've seen some terrible things from it. I agree that not everybody gets seriously ill, but there's a large percent of patients. So patients that get symptomatic infection where they're hypoxic and require some degree of hospitalization, a very large percent of those patients, like over 20%, have some form of clotting issue that follows them. Mm. There's a large percentage of patients that have post-COVID symptoms or long COVID or long-haul COVID, chronic fatigue-like issues. They can have reactivations of viruses like something called HHV6, human herpes virus number 6, that causes roseola in children. Well, it can reactivate in a situation. I've had to treat some people for that infection to calm that down so that they could, get back to their life. Other people have post-COVID fatigue that can't find a reason for. And a third of the time it gets better when they get vaccinated. So there's a lot that, truly there's a lot that we don't know about this, and we will only know in perfect understanding in hindsight, but we know a lot more than we did a year ago, but I'm very pro-vaccine. I recommend it to everybody. If I had it available to me before I got sick, I would have taken it. Mm-hmm. One of my friends, Monsignor Sosman, Richard Sosman, who was the vice postulator for the canonization effort for Bishop Sheen, he died of COVID this year, and there have been a lot of other people that have as well, and there's a tremendous toll in India, which was ravaged by the Delta variant. It's surmised that their death toll may have exceeded 3 million people.
Oh, gosh.
Now, India has a lot of underlying illness that's not being treated. There's older people, tons of diabetics, not on any kind of control, cholesterol issues, heart disease issues that's undiagnosed. So they have a lot of underlying medical conditions. But what they found in India with the Delta variant was that younger people were being affected. In the early days of the outbreak here, it was surmised that it was a disease of older people and younger people, kids didn't get sick at all, and 20s and 30-year-old adults had very mild illness. But India's experience with the Delta variant was a little different in that children were getting seriously ill and young adults were getting seriously ill as well. So we hope that doesn't happen here. But that's behind the big push by public health to get children vaccinated. I just wish this Novavax would be available so that people could have another option that would be, you know, fetal tissue free and a low side effect profile so that they could, you know, get their children vaccinated without the same level of concern as they may have for the messenger RNA vaccines. One of the things I've been concerned about was that, you know, the Trump administration pushed everything so fast with Operation Warp Speed. It's, you know, if the people that were working on that stuff, Azar and all those other people, if they were able to help now, they would probably be pushing the Novavax through because it would solve a big problem. You know, we'd probably get another 20, 30 million people vaccinated within 2 weeks if we had that vaccine available. But I don't think the current administration is shepherding these this vaccine to market like the others were shepherded so quickly. And there may be multiple reasons for that. I mean, I'm sure there are. But I don't think any of them are really in the public's best interest, you know.
Doctor, we're up against the clock, as you know, with almost no time. Last question, kind of quickly. We're talking about different variants. You even brought up one we hadn't heard of yet. It seems like six letters down the Greek alphabet. Not sure, but Lambda. So now that there are all these, and we hadn't heard before of Delta till we did. And so, how many variants can you even guess there be to this virus? And the biggest question is, will we be able to keep up with that?
We will. And, you know, the vaccines are highly protective against all the variants, really, because as I spoke before, if you think about the virus, it's like an ice cream cone, standard cone, with a different scoop of ice cream. You got pistachio, chocolate, vanilla, maple, walnut, but it's got the same cone. And the cone is what attaches to the human cell. And that's what the vaccine works against. The vaccine acts against the base of the cone so it can't attach to a cell, if you can follow what I'm saying. So a variant could be a different flavor of ice cream, but the vaccine, you know, I believe will be found to be, these vaccines will be found to be very, very effective across the variant horizon.
Well, that's good news from you, Dr. Robert Tobolli, who just said he very much urges people to get a vaccine, and lots of good information, doctor. Thank you so much.